All right, hey, welcome back, everybody.
Hold on. How's everybody doing? What's going on? Welcome back to Is It Crazy or Is It God? What's going on, guys?
I mean, how was? Oh, you know what? We didn't. I don't know if we did that the last time. Last time we had our anniversary special. So, okay, mm-hmm. Great.
Soundtrack good.
Okay, so great. Last time we had our anniversary special. So, I don't think we've been doing this for a minute. Which is, how did you like? How did you apply the word this week? Or what did you? What did you get to apply?
Also? Yes.
I don't even remember the question. Anyway, listen, we're getting ready to get into that. Let's just do a proper welcome. Welcome, everyone, to Is It Crazy, Is It God, where we aspire to encourage a community of Bible readers to pick up your Bible and read along with us. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to already be a Bible reader to qualify. So just to let you know, I'm so not used to this, but like I have to look at the lens and not.
I'm looking at the viewfinder.
Yeah. Okay. So sorry, everybody. Hi, we're looking at you. We're welcoming you into our space to say hello. Come and read the Bible with us. So hopefully, all the audio and videos good because we're trying a different setup. Yeah. So hopefully,
we've got little mics.
The quality is even better than before. You could definitely let us know if you have any constructive feedback. We are so open to that. So anyway, yeah. So now I'll jump in.
Yes.
This is what I was going to ask you. Oh, you were going to say? Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Sure,
okay. Sure. All right. There we go.
You were going to say.
Mm-hmm.
How was your week? But no, you go
what
ahead
did you learn?
You know what? It's year two.
What did you learn this week? That's what the question was. Instead of,
what how
did you learn and apply it?
What did I learn and apply in the Word this week?
Yeah,
that was the question.
Yep.
Give it up for Brother James over here. Give it up for Brother James for remembering that. Okay, I'm just grabbing my memory verse book because I know it was something that was in here that I was applying this week. And it was, okay. Here we go, y'all. Because, you know, coming into the new year, I've just been really trying to just put my best foot forward and like I'm trying to start the year out as consistently as possible. So it's taking some setup and some sort of like blocking off time. I'm heavy in the quadrants. And then sometimes I'll get distracted by whatever, right? Emotions or someone else's action or reaction or something. And now I'm over there. Right. So this week, this is what I applied. Galatians 6:4-5, pay careful attention to your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. So that's the New Living Translation. I was applying that this week because I just really didn't want to get distracted with like, it's not necessarily like he said or she said, but it's like what other people think of me. Cause you just don't know anyway. Right.
Yeah,
like, you know, certainly it's a blessing to be around people who are, honest and kind and can give you like some feedback and constructive criticism. But sometimes, you know, sometimes when you don't ask people, they won't tell you. And I think more often than not, and then, and it's scary to ask. So I, you know, I'm always open to it, but I don't, you know, have a practice of asking. And so sometimes I get into the space of thinking like, am I even good enough at this? You know what I'm saying? And it's very odd because where does that come from? You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I was applying that to my work because I was like, let me just focus on my own work. And one of the good things about these memory verses is like, I'll look at it in different translations. And one of the translations, the Message, which is controversial. The Message translation I've recently come to find is like a big thing because sometimes it doesn't translate over exactly word for word. But in this one, it says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself to others.
Yeah.
Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. So that is very much more specific. I think sometimes in different, you know, so it's, you know, I can see why it's controversial, because it's saying something slightly more detailed, and is it the way that it was supposed to be interpreted?
Exactly.
Right. So
the only problem with the message is it kind of, okay.
Anyway, so listen, that's my answer to the question, and then I'll let you go into your whole thing. But I learned to really, you know, I really was applying that word as much as I could to just try to get out of my own head and stop, like, prejudging myself before I even do something. Sometimes I'll just be so in my head that I'll be like, oh, I got to do this. Like, I'll be worried that it's not going to get done. And it always gets done. Like, God is always with me. I'm always calling him into my space. I'm always asking him for guidance. And even though I'd still be messing up, I like to think that, you know, I'm doing good enough to where he hasn't turned me away. And yeah, so that's how I was, that's what I learned and applied this week, examining my own work and focusing on doing a good job with what I have. Okay, what's your question? What's your answer? What did you learn and apply in the word this week? And don't be, look, you must be choosing from things, because I have witnessed you get up several times early this week, delve into your Bible, delve into the, I don't know if you're reading Proverbs or what, but I've been seeing you with your notebook out, so I know you got something.
I don't know. It's so much.
Well, look at what you did this week.
I did.
Look at what you did this week and how much you had to, like, go against the norm and have discipline. Does that, you know, I could just tell you from observation that I saw you, you know, be dependable and have integrity. But how would you think, what have you gotten from the word that you feel like?
So I read Proverbs, and this week I actually wanted to commit to the word more, and I have been doing that. So every morning I get up and I read Proverbs, and then we also read with together.
Yeah, we read our
reading so together. I did a lot of soaking in of God's word. I could do more. I believe in so I'll read something last week. We'll do this one that I have applied, because this week has just been a little bit uncomfortable for me, because I have been going, let's say my job is been a little bit different, and I was getting pushed into a level of uncomfortability because I was asked to do so many things, but then still have to balance my life at home, being a good husband and a steward for God. And I, oh, you know what? Okay, I can pick one.
No, these are not your final words.
Yeah, no. Now I just got to remember. Now I just have to remember. Boom. I'll do this. This is a good one. This is Proverbs 25, verse 2. And then I'm going to tell you how I applied this word to my life, and how it's going to, how I read something today that's going to continuously held my life. But I've been applying this without even knowing that I've been applying it until I read the Bible verse. So it says 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. Right? So the glory of God is to conceal things, right? And the glory of kings is to search things out, right? So I think this remains to, you have to search things out if you want things to be, like, if you want God to make changes in your life, if you want changes in your life, if you want to change who you are, you have to search things out. Hmm. Right? So seek and you shall find.
Okay.
Right? The same thing. You have to, if you want, here's the great example of what we're doing now, right? And this is how I applied it. If I want to be closer to God, I have to search him out. Hmm. So by me reading the Bible with faith this week in the morning and reading the Bible to myself and spending time with God, I have learned that in order to change who I am and to have to go to another level of uncomfortability, I have to search that out. So like if you want to be in a position, like say you want to create a YouTube channel like this, where you want to talk about how you read the Bible, you have to search it out to do it. Mm-hmm. You have to find out how, what camera, what computer. You could do it from your phone, but searching things out is the key.
Yeah.
Right? To becoming a new person or changing who you are. So when I read that verse, I was like, so what I've been searching? I've been searching to get closer to God than I have been.
Yeah.
And searching for me, the basis of searching is reading the Bible. So it's something what I also learned is the Bible has, and we're going to talk about that when we break down these Bible verses, and faith is been, you've been looking into this as well, is I, as humans, we don't know the definition of words.
Uh-huh.
So we'll hear certain words and we think like, oh, that means that. And it doesn't, it could mean multiple different reasons, and it depends how you're using the sentence. So like when you search for something, you're thinking like, oh, I'm looking for my keys. Well, searching can apply to other different areas in your life.
Yeah.
And searching could be watching a YouTube video or reading a book, but you have to look for it.
You're saying seeking information.
Seeking information. Yeah. Gotcha. For me, I wanted to get closer to God. So by searching more, I sought him out by reading the Bible more.
You're seeking God. Right. Got it. You're seeking not necessarily just information.
No.
Seeking an answer, or you're seeking.
I'm seeking just to get closer to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just saying by what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. For somebody else, you can seek for questions you have and answers in the Bible.
Yeah.
Right now, my point in my life.
You can be seeking peace, or you can be seeking love. You can be seeking.
Sometimes I might have to pray about, you know, that. But right now, I'm trying to seek the wisdom of God. And that only requires one thing, and that's to fear him. But in order to fear God, you have to learn
who he is and what, what he's
Bible.
Done.
So that's what you have to immerse yourself with. So that was pretty long-winded, but it is what it is, guys. So, are you ready to go into the Word, or we'll be ready?
I am ready. I stay ready, so I have to get ready. No, okay. Sorry, I couldn't refuse. Mm. I couldn't help myself. I had to say that because it's one of those things you hear all the time. You get the opportunity to say it, you got to do it. You know what I mean? That's why I went for it.
Straight
and
up.
Here we are. Okay. So listen, this week we read from 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. We went from 1 Kings 15:25-34, and then 1 Kings 16:1-34.
Yep.
Then we read 2 Chronicles 17. Then we read 1 Kings 17-19. Then we ended off yesterday with 1 Kings 20-21. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to dump right in. I got confused. I had to go to different sources, and I'm going to give a shout out at the end of the thing to tell you where I went. Because, and then we found out a little bit more about our learning styles, but I got confused on this. I just want to be completely transparent. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you have to read passages more than once. That was definitely the case here. Now, I will give a disclaimer because we have paused for a while and we picked back up. And so I was really, I guess, kind of insecure approaching it because I was like, wait, what happened right before this? And so I thought, you know, when we talked about Jezebel, I was like, is that where the word Jezebel came from, the Bible? Yeah. And then I was like, it had, you know, the text referenced Jezebel having killed these prophets. And I was like, I don't remember reading that. Mm-hmm. And so James is explaining to me that maybe we didn't read it. And it's just telling us that that's what happened. And you just got to, you know, keep moving. And I was like, well, wait a minute. If it happened, wouldn't we have read it? So I really got confused. Plus, mm-hmm. there are two people that we're being introduced to here, Elijah and Elisha. Yeah. And I think I got those two mixed up at some point. So sometimes I'm just giving, you know, saying this for experience purposes. This happened to me this week because I was like kind of confused. I was kind of insecure about my understanding of the interpretation of like what we're reading. I was referencing different mm-hmm. texts. Like we always have our Tony Evans Bible commentary. I also got a parallel Bible. And I actually went in search of like some audio, like I needed it to be read to me, mm-hmm. which was so helpful to me because I then realized like, oh, that's two different people. And mm-hmm. and then I was able to like do something else. Like I think I was getting dressed while I was listening to it the other day. So yeah, that was my overall experience with this particular passage that we're going to talk about. Did you want to add on to that or do you want to?
No, some things that when we get to it that I learned. And yeah, I mean, I'm ready to dive into it.
Okay. All right. Let's keep it going then.
All right. So we read three sections. And the first section is, this you already explained, right? So it's 1 Kings 15, 25 through 34, 1 Kings 16, 1 through 34, 2 Chronicles 17. Now this talks about Kings Nadabab and Baasha, Kings Ella, Zimri, Amari, Ahab, who will you know, get to him, King Jehoshaphat of Judah. And this kind of just breaks down, it basically tells a story of different kings and what they did in their time of Israel. And it doesn't like dive into this semantics and the specifics, but it kind of, you know, breaks down of how evil the kings were and where it got to a point where it was talking about every king was trying to do evil to outdo the evil of the other king. They're trying to, which I don't think they were trying.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. I don't think they were trying, but it's happenstance. So let's say they weren't trying. All the kings, it's just that they did more evil acts than the previous king. Mm-hmm. And I think that just became like a culture.
Yeah, I wanted to say that. Can I chime in here?
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, they say the same thing, I guess, about money these days, but it's like, it'll reveal who you are. I feel like leadership certainly is parallel to that. It's like, you could be a particular type of person when you don't have authority over things or you don't have control over things. But then when you come into leadership and you have resources and you have people, like even human capital or, you know, money or, you know, power over like a jurisdiction or a particular branch or division of something. When you have that power, now we get to see who that person really is. Because, I mean, we see it with politicians. You know what I mean? You don't know if you're going to take the money under the table. Are you going to take the money under the table? I would say no, I wouldn't. But then who knows what's going to happen when I get into power. And I feel like nobody's looking and I might not get caught. That's how really it goes. People never think they're gonna get caught. Mm-hmm. And that's the point, right? It's like the more you do it, you're probably like you're more likely to get caught. But it's like But even then, that's not necessarily like who's gotten caught. Some people maybe have done things for the first or second time. Mm-hmm. They may have witnessed other people do things several times. But mm-hmm. the point is, if you do it, now you are the doer of that thing. We were just talking about this. You are what you repeatedly do, or you are what you do. If you do something for the first time, you can no longer say, oh, I never do this, right? Because now you do. You know what I'm saying?
And that's a cliche saying, I never do this, but you did it.
Though. But you did it though, so now you do. Now you're that.
Part of your history.
And listen, it's not a downer or whatever. It's not a put down. But what I'm saying is when people come into leadership, like we see these kings, it's not necessarily that they are wishing to do, I'm going to be the worst king there ever was. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case. I think it's just a test of character. It's like, oh, now we'll do whatever you say because you're the king and because you have power. And because we're kind of in fear of you, like you could do something mm-hmm. to me. And so you can do whatever you want. What would you like to do? Mm-hmm. And now we see them, you know, sort of each king is worse than the yes. last. And so what I learned from when we was watching the, cause we'll do our reading. And then, like I said, I listened to audio this time. We'll do a little extra research. Then we'll mm-hmm. listen to the Bible Project. And, on the Bible Project narration, they pointed out like there were all these kings, northern, because when they split into two and it was like Israel and Jerusalem, there were 20 kings, right? And the northern kings, all of them were bad. But then the southern kings, they had some sprinkled out. I think he said like 8 that did okay or whatever. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a testament of character when you get power. That's all.
And not just because you're king doesn't mean you're a good leader.
Yeah. Speak on it.
And, you know, it's funny. So, once again, when you're searching for something, you're going to be able to seek it out. So, we're reading the Bible about this, and then I'm reading another book that isn't the Bible. But it's where I want to go, right? It's Jim Rohn's 7 Successful Habits of Wealthy People, I think. 7 Successful Habits.
Oh, is it right there? Yeah, 7 strategies
for wealth and happiness.
If he's asking me, I don't know. I hope it's not backwards. Yeah, this is what you're
reading. Yeah, so I'm reading that now, right? So,
well, since we're talking about what we're reading, I'm reading The Discipline of Destiny by Ryan Holiday.
But he was talking about like leaders or readers, right? So just because you're appointed king, this is what I got from the Bible. Just because you're appointed king doesn't necessarily makes you a good person or a good leader. You're just put in that position because you have a position mm-hmm. of authority. It doesn't mean that you're following God's will. It doesn't mean that you're righteous. It doesn't mean that you're honest. It doesn't mean that you give to the poor. It's just granted to you.
Yeah, you pointed out the difference between, there's a difference between authority and leadership.
Yep.
One doesn't, that's what you just said, but I just wanted to point those two out. Because it's like, I do think mm-hmm. sometimes people hide behind a title and they say like, oh, well, I'm this, so that represents this. And mm-hmm. someone this week reminded me that just because someone is at a director level doesn't mean they're performing at a director's level, right? Mm-hmm. So you could have a situation where someone is titled something, but they're not performing up to par or, you know, up to whatever the standard mm-hmm. would be required.
And that's what I kind of got mm-hmm. out of the Bible verses. It's like, and when it's saying it's doing evil, you know, that's sinning and going against God, but it's just because they're king doesn't make them a good leader.
Right.
You know, and
I think we all need to keep that in mind, especially with the politics and everything ramping up again, because it's a voting year or, you know, general election year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we all need to kind of keep that in mind. It's like, just because someone's a leader doesn't mean they're a good leader.
Yes.
Because they're appointed, or just because they're an authority.
Doesn't
mean you follow them, because we see how this happened in the Bible. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Now, That's just my takeaway from that. But now we can talk about Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat of Judah was different than the other kings. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Jehoshaphat was, if I can get this right, I believe he didn't do evil as the other kings did. Let me make sure I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember which one. I don't remember which one was, because another thing that I messed up on, or not messed up on, but another thing I'm coming to realize is, like, sometimes when I'm trying to read these stories and I see, like, certain words like Israelites, or I don't know, certain words just make me think like good guys, bad guys, and everybody that's good can, you know, possibly do something bad. And there's sometimes the people who are not necessarily even like on the good side are doing something helpful. We've seen in the Bible where people were like part of a different society, and they'll house somebody who's traveling or running away, or you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a believer to be a good person type of thing. But so that's something that I have to sort of work on with my comprehension too, because it's like, just because someone is labeled a certain thing, or you take sort of similarity with them, or you take a side with them, doesn't mean that they're always going to act in or out of whatever you think their box is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was correct. Jehoshaphat, actually, the Lord was with him because he walked in the earlier ways of his father, David.
Mm.
He did not see Baal. So all the kings I named, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, that all did evil. Not saying they were like, I'm going to do more evil than him. It's not that. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's just that they were just living a natural...
Yeah, natural existence.
Natural existence. Whatever they weren't good leaders and were evil. What happens? It happens in life. But Jehoshaphat didn't do that. He didn't worship Baal. That was a big thing back then, too. A lot of people worship Baal, which is like a golden bull.
I don't know.
I think it keeps coming up over and over again.
If I can.
He Jehoshaphat did not. He kept God close to his heart, as you should. You shouldn't. God dislikes that when you worship.
Yeah, in the Bible, this is from study.com, so it's not even like a Bible source, but I just Googled it. The God Baal. It is the name given to several different deities who are designated as false gods or idols. However, it is most often used to describe the specific Canaanite Phoenician god of fertility and rain. Additionally, Baal is associated with Beelzebub, demons, and the devil. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. So, yeah, I do think that there were these calves, like it was two golden calves that I think the northern Israelites, whatever, like they... one of the leaders put that up there for them to worship. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So that's funny. So did you already read that question? That's funny. Okay. Let's go into the question. Cause we're already
this
like,
is what is the main, in what main way was King Joseph had different from these other kings?
You just answered it. Yeah. You were like, he didn't go and worship.
No,
he was one of the ones who would.
It always stood out to
who me. Was righteous. So that's really funny, because we find ourselves in this pattern of. Sorry, all my notifications are going off. We find ourselves in this pattern of when we get on here and film, and we are. This is the first time that we're reading these questions out of the TeachSundaySchool.com 365 day daily Bible reading plan.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll read the prompt questions and. It's the first time we're seeing, if we read the readings, we don't look at the questions. But inevitably, we always be answering the questions before we look at them. So it's really funny. So the question is, in what main ways was King Jehoshaphat different from these other kings? And James has already pointed out that he wasn't worshiping the same idols and that he walked with God. Who was he? Was he married to somebody?
It just says that he was, it just basically, it's the Second Chronicles 17. It just talks about how he he was righteous with God and walked in the way with God and didn't worship Baal. It's a real quick verse.
Did your Bible say anything like a breakdown of him? You know how sometimes years will have like a breakdown of Jehoshaphat? Because I don't really know. Like, I guess those are the main ways, though. So that's really the answer to the question, to be honest with
you. Nah, I don't think so.
So I think that's really what it is. He didn't. And how hard it can be to go against the grain when everybody's doing something. I noticed that for myself. It's like when everybody's doing a thing, it almost makes it more of a challenge to do the right thing. It's like if you're driving and everybody's driving one way, you're gonna kind of go with the flow, or if everybody's going a certain speed, they call it going with the speed of traffic. Mm-hmm. But it's like, even it's that way with a lot of things. It's like if a line is forming, mm-hmm. right, you're gonna get at the end of the line. A lot of times you don't even look to see who's, you know what I'm saying, whether the line is moving, who's at the beginning of the line, if you're in the right line. So it's like you just kind of go with the flow. So I mean, like, that is really commendable for him to go and walk with God in that way when others were not doing that. Because mm-hmm. it's hard to, like, go against the grain, if you will.
Yeah, because it stood out. Because all the other kings were evil. Okay. 1 Kings 17-19. This is basically about the prophet Elijah and Ahab. This basically the next two are about it, and the stories are pretty phenomenal.
These are wild stories, man. You can't make this stuff up. Go ahead.
So the prophet Elijah calls a drought. The ravens feed Elijah. Elijah raises the widow's son. Remember? Elijah defeats the prophets of Baal.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into that. And God speaks to distressed Elijah and then introducing Elisha.
Right.
So, okay, so this is a very... Elijah said there's going to be a drought. Nobody believed him. Then there was a drought. Then, because of the drought, he just went on his journey. And he was in the desert, and God basically fed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
God told him where to go for food, and he just went and did it. He just went and went to the lady. It was wild, because it's like...
Because he ran... No, he ran away around. He ran away around this time. Okay, yeah. So, and then he meets this widow, and he gets bread, and he feeds the widow and the widow's son bread, and they drink water, and then the widow's son passes away.
Yeah. And what happened was he was told, God told him mm-hmm. that she was going to feed him. And then mm-hmm. he went to tell her, like, hey, you're going to feed me or whatever. He didn't say it like that. But she basically was like, I only have enough for me and my son. And he was like, go look. Mm-hmm. Right. And it was enough for them.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, well, what I read was that he said, okay, you'll eat after me. But then when she went to go get it, there was enough for everyone. And then, yes, the boy passed away.
Yeah. But Elijah
went to the upper room. I remember I was like,
And then Elijah prayed to God and asked God. Once again, I'm noticing this about God is that if you call on him and you're in the spirit, he is going to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
He always delivers on his promises. So if God, I'm just learning this. Let me piece this together real quick. This is a thing that just came to my mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
God gives you steps to getting what you want out of life. God has a perfect way and choice for where do you go. Because if we're made after his image, that means imagine. He gave us all imagine. That's why everybody has imagination. Everybody wants to create. No matter who you are, you want to create. You want to build something because that's what God did. And we were created in his image. So if God gives you a vision to be a painter, and you start reading the Bible, and it's certain laws that you have to follow. And once you follow those laws, you get in the spirit, you get close to the spirit of God. God talks to you. Because God has promised you, right? If he says, you follow me, you'll be successful. You follow me, you'll be happy. Because he has promised you that, you can call on him when you're in certain situations if you're in the spirit.
Yeah.
Like, hey, God, you promised this. I'm stuck in the wilderness. I need some bread. I might die.
Yeah.
I need you help. And then the ravens feed Elijah. Then he meets a widow. So when that point, when Elijah found that out that the widow's son died, he called on God. God raises the son. So that's just like my theory, right? You get close to God. God gives you the vision. You follow God's law. Then because you're in the spirit, you can call on him and he'll deliver his promises to you.
Yeah.
And you can call him out. God, you said this.
Yeah, but what's funny is, okay, I just want to point out a couple of disclaimers. Right? Him. Sometimes it's not on your time, right? Nope. So you think like, oh, I'm about to die. Like I remember Psalms that kept on saying, David kept on saying that. Oh, my enemies are upon me. And it's like, we forget that God is God. Mm-hmm. Like he understands, he knows what's happening. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, chillax. But also what I think was interesting is like the ravens, right? It's like, you don't even think to yourself, man, we take for granted so many things. We think we know everything. We think the animals are not as smart as we are. This actually still happens. Like, I'm not saying like they're bringing people meat, but like I've seen these posts through social media where like if you give birds a certain, like if you give birds food in a certain place every time a day, like the same time every day, they'll start to bring you stuff back. And there was one story about the birds will bring you like rocks and stuff like that, or you know, stuff for nests. They're not building a nest, they're just bringing you back. They're trying to give you in exchange for what you've given them food. And then there was one story of these birds that were bringing like dollar bills to this person. And it's so interesting because, you know, we just think like, oh, we're humans and they're animals and they couldn't possibly, you know what I mean? We don't know. We don't know how God has
dominion over
even the way that we interact with people as people. It's like, you know, when you stay connected in the spirit and God speaks to you, you might be in a vicinity where he sends you to go help somebody. Right. Like you don't know what somebody's going through. You just listen to God. So it's like, hey, God just told me to bless this person with this. Or God just told me to give so-and-so my old shoes. Or God just told me buy this person a meal. God just told me to pull over and just make sure this person's okay. Right. Like you don't know how he's using you in his, you know, things. But that's so interesting that you said that about the ravens. Sorry, I just had to chime in.
Yeah. All right, and now we get to an interesting part. So Elijah now, he raised his son. Now he's like, okay. He gets back, and he finds out that, you know, the king, Ahab's wife, who's vicious.
Jezebel,
vicious, you know. She's something else, man. Jezebel killed prophets, and Elijah was like, wait, time out. That's not going to fly. And he has this competition with Ahab's priest, I guess we call them priest, who Elijah went against.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could call them priests. So they were worshipers.
Let's say the king's advisors.
Yeah,
they were worshipers of Baal. And Elijah challenged him. He said, my God is the living God. My God is the God of Israel. My God is the God of Abraham. My God is the God of Isaac. He's a living God. Your God, Baal, is not living. Let's see who can create fire. So they both got stones and they tried over and over again and they couldn't do it. Tried over and over and over again. Couldn't do it. The king's advisors like, Ba, oh, keep coming. And Elijah's laughing. And I'm like, your God's not living. Where is he at? It's been a day. There's no fire. Watch this. So then Elijah told people to, he dug up a trench, put water in it, follow God's instructions. And then next thing you know, fire is created. And he says, look what my living God could do. And then the people said, oh, we must follow God because we've seen him create a miracle. We see him create fire out of nothing. And then Elijah gets a little, I'm not going to lie, I was like, what? And Elijah slaughtered the king's advisors who.
Yeah, they said Baal's prophets.
Baal's prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah killed them. Now, Ahab, the king, goes back and tells his wife, Jezebel. Jezebel writes this letter to Elijah saying, hey, you killed my... What's she say? Yeah.
This is in 1 Kings 19:1. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets of Baal with the sword. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's Baal or Baal. Sorry if I'm saying it wrong. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. And it says, and Elijah was afraid and arose and ran for his life.
Yeah. He ran with stress. That
I think
crazy.
That's interesting. But go ahead.
The queen wrote me a letter like that. This woman is evil.
I get
it. He was scared.
I get it. But he was like, this is why this question is going to be interesting because I just looked at it.
Well, let's read it. Elijah could have wound up dead at the scene with the prophets of Baal. Or Baal. Baal.
Whatever you want to
say. Ball sounds like
y'all know what we're talking about. B-A-A-L.
Ball so hard. Anyway, all right.
Oh my God.
Too easy. What can we take away from his faith and confidence in God, Elijah?
Okay. Because I was just getting ready to say, what can we take away from his faith in God? So look at how he, you know, he did the thing with the ravens. He went to the widow. He saved his son. He went and was so, and one of the things that we didn't even say is that when he came back and told Ahab's messenger to go get Ahab, dude was scared. I can't remember his name right now, but he was scared. Cause he was like, hey, listen, he's been looking for you for some time. If I come back with him and you're not here, he's going to kill me. So please don't do that. Like, what if the spirit of God takes you away? Like, come on, man. And so he was like, no, I'll be here. Go get your boy. And this is before the whole thing with the prophets where they did the fire.
It was Obadiah.
It might have been Obadiah, yeah. So here's what. He had all the faith. And I was thinking to myself Obadiah. That I'm going to be real. I don't have that much faith. Like I have a lot of faith for God. Like, but you wouldn't find me up at the Iverson Mall telling people you bring your God and my God's going to bring fire. I mean, I don't know if I'm walking that hard with God like that. Like I want to be, but I wouldn't test it like that. I wouldn't put my life on the line and be like, hey, if you guys as God, you know, is there, then he'll strike a fire. And if mine is here, he'll strike a fire. Let's see which one goes. I wouldn't necessarily be that confident right now, this present day age, like he was. So I thought to myself when he did that, like, oh, wow, I can really take away that I should be that faithful. And I should be that faithful. I still am taking that away. Mm-hmm. But it is also interesting to me that after he did that and after he witnessed with his own eyes, because then, like, even though he knew God was with him, it has to be shocking, right? Just like with Moses, when he did the thing with the staff and it fell into a snake. And then, the Red Sea parted and all that. It's like these have to be such amazing feats that you have to at least still be shocked. Even if you are a believer, I would think probably Jesus wasn't shocked, but all the other people who perform miracles had to still be a little bit taken aback, like, wow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when the fire thing happened, you would think you would be like, oh, I know God's going to show up for me, right? But then to turn around and have Jezebel come and say some mean words, and then he's scared. And, like, not even just mean words. She was actually killing people, so there's that. You know what I mean? She was actually out here killing people. But I thought that, wow, that's interesting that he ran away scared when he just saw the acts of God through him, you know what I'm saying, through his own participation. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. But I can take away that I should have that type of confidence in God, not to the point where I'm going to dare to, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to perform a miracle, everyone. Hey, come gather around and watch me perform a miracle. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that I have that kind of confidence. Now, I do call God when I need him, and he has performed miracles in my own life, or what I would consider to be miracles. Mm. But I wouldn't necessarily put it out there for people to test unless he called me to do that, you know? Yeah. But that would be hard because we know God likes to embarrass people. You know what I'm saying? So I do have confidence. I just am not sure, you know, about the major feats that like defy science. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what did you take away? So Elijah could have wound up dead mm-hmm. at the scene with the prophets of Baal. He could have, because he ended up killing those people. Mm-hmm. What can we take away from his faith and confidence in God?
I'm not going to lie. And this is later, but and we had a discussion about what this meant, but, and this is 19 verse 14, 1 Kings 19 verse 14. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of mm-hmm. hosts, for the people of Israel forsaking your covenant. Let me tell you something. I was like, you know, Faith was like, what does that mean? And I was like, well, maybe jealous means something else in the context that it was.
Right. Using. And let me just say, because I was looking at it and mine didn't say the word jealous. Mine said the word mm-hmm. zealous.
Yeah.
So for a second, I thought he just like overlooked the word or whatever. Mm-mm. And then I looked because I have the parallel Bible too. So it's like, you know, this Bible has International Version, New King James Version, New Living Translation, and the Message. And three out of the four on that same verse, which was 1 Kings 19, mm-hmm. it said zealous, but his said jealous. So we were trying to figure out why are they interchanging that word? Mm-hmm. And then so we looked up the definition, and it meant like to protect the turf of or something, right? So that means that Elijah was like basically having God's back, if you will, yeah. right? Like he was acting and performing in a way where he was protecting the property of yeah. God. So
yeah
so that's your takeaway, the jealous thing.
Yeah, because it's like, so the definition is feeling or showing suspicion of someone's unfaithfulness in a relationship, fiercely protective or vigilant of one's rightful possessions.
Mm-hmm, that's the
one. And this is the third one. I just saw it.
Okay.
Look.
Of God.
Demanding faithfulness and exclusive worship. Mm-hmm. So he was so
demanding faithfulness and exclusive worship.
So he was so
my God.
Jealous that. And listen, we thought it was, I'm not gonna lie, I just saw that. I skipped out.
Hey, listen.
I missed out on that.
Maybe it wasn't there, or maybe this is it crazy, or is it God?
Yeah.
I think it was God.
So demanding faithfulness and exclusive worship, woo, that stands
we
out.
We didn't see
to
that.
Me. No.
I didn't see that either.
I didn't see it.
I think that's really interesting. We just looked at this the other day.
Yeah.
And I did not see that. And I looked at it right along with you.
Yeah.
So I did not see that. We only saw that other one.
We only saw fresh protective and vigilant. But now seeing the last one, which is of God demanding faithfulness and exclusive worship.
Exclusive worship.
Which means Elijah has, that's all he's about. That's what since I've read, that's all he is, constantly worshiping God and following God and listening to God's instructions.
And I can see how the jealous part comes in when mm-hmm. you think about exclusive worship. Like, obviously, yeah. they're doing the opposite.
Yeah.
And we talk about, guys, gonna have to go ahead and say this. Mm-hmm. We talk about what it looks like to worship idols present day mm-hmm. and worship meaning giving your attention to mm-hmm. your, you know, and I think, you know, it's not like exclusive, like it's not like you can serve two masters, mm-hmm. but I think I think we could kind of see where the line is between participation and worship. Yeah. And we talk about these phones and how they have a sort of a power over us sometimes, and like we're almost worshiping our phones. We see how, I know we're going to run out of time soon, but we see how people, you know, even the children in the schools, we're seeing a lot of lot of these clips of them, you know, getting their phone taken away and really causing harm to teachers or others. It's like, it's like, it's a, or like I saw something over the holidays where a child, like their parent took their phone and they like killed the parent or something. Sorry. They unalived the parent. I don't think you can say that word on YouTube. Sorry. Sorry, YouTube, but the parent was unalived because the child, because the child's phone was taken away. And I think that we really have to take a look at where we're going with this technology, because it's a thing, it's a possession. It's not God and it's not a person. You know what I mean? Like it's not anything with life, and it's replaceable. It's completely replaceable to the point where it gets replaced on a regular cadence. Like every year or 2 years, they have a new one. So it's not that serious. And I think we got to really take a look at how we feel about these devices. But, you know, that's just me.
No, no, I totally
So I can see where that jealous thing comes in, though, because it's saying exclusive worship. Exclusive and worship. These people were obviously doing the opposite with those, deities or whatever called.
Which I think, what we take away from is faith and confidence. How confident and strong he was to do the opposite of what the world does. And that is finding confidence and strength in God, because as a society, we're kind of used to going along with what we deem necessary for ourselves. And when you follow God, you're doing the opposite of that. When you start talking about God laws, you're doing the opposite of what everybody else is doing. And because you're doing the opposite and you have exclusive worship with God, that is confidence. Because it is. You're going away from the grain of what everybody else is doing.
And it's the thing that we all, well, like a lot of us sort of like fear is like other people's approval. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like so many things we do is based on the desire for other people to like us, to you know, include us, to, you know, sort of, you know, not even like raise us up, but like acknowledge us or to say that we're a part of something.
Yeah.
And so that can be difficult. So that's what you take away. That's what's up.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's move right along, because it looks like we're going to drop off in around 7 minutes. We might just drop off and continue with YouTube, let's just see.
Yeah. I think we could
probably wrap
I think up. We can finish up with our shout outs and then we can push this.
Okay. Sure. You want to do the shout outs first? Or you want to do, no, let's do the shout outs last like we normally do. This is the type of thing that happens when you're live, guys.
We can push this till next week.
No, let's finish. We got 6 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't think so?
So, yeah, we can try it. All right. 1 Kings 20 to 21. It talks about how Ahab defeats Ben-Hadad and Ahab commits murder and repents. So this is saying what Ahab did when he said he committed murder. It was, let me see. Where is Ben-Hadad?
Ben-Hadad was another leader.
Was a prophet?
He was another leader. Ahab was, so you're thinking
King
about
of Syria. Ben-Hadad was the king of Syria.
And they went against him, but.
Okay, that's what it is, yeah.
This is where I was saying I was getting confused about the good guys versus the bad guys. Because in my mind, Ahab defeated Ben-Hadad with God's, you know, like, so God must have been with him. That's where I got confused, because I was like, okay, cool. And then Ahab came back and did something completely gross and disgusting, him and his wife. Mm-hmm. And I realized, like, he's a bad guy. Yeah. But it's like, that's where you have to really, you know, take those lenses off of, like, good guy, bad guy. This isn't a Disney movie or whatever, right? This is like a Marvel film or whatever. This is like you know, the Bible. So everybody sins, everybody, you know, and even the sun shines on the other side, you know, sometimes. Mm-hmm. So like, I was thinking, oh, Ahab defeats Ben-Hadad. So that means Ben-Hadad is bad and Ahab is good. And that's not what it happened. Right. So like, so Ahab was able to defeat Ben-Hadad, and Ben-Hadad's army was larger. And I remember it was because like they were drunk, like Ben-Hadad's army, they were drunk.
Yep, I remember.
And they were like, oh, we're gonna, so they sent word to Ahab, and I hope I don't mess this up, but I'm pretty sure I got it. They sent word to Ahab or the Syrians or wherever they were, Sumerians, I don't know.
Syrian.
Okay, sorry, I may have messed that up, but you gotta read, this is why you gotta read it for yourself. And this is in 1 Kings 20 and 21, where Ben-Hadad's army was basically drunk and they were saying that they were going to take over Ahab. Ahab basically was like, ah, don't count your win before you get it. You know what I'm saying? Because there was like this thing where they were going to take, he was going to take his wives and all this stuff. And anyway, you got to read it to know the whole story. Mm-hmm. But once he defeated Ben-Hadad, it was like, oh, you know, we did that with a smaller army. And I took it like, oh, because God was on their side. And that could be the case because God, you know, can do that. But it's just interesting because then Ahab went and did some crazy stuff after that. So it's like, you would think that, you know, when you see the work of God, then you're going to go to good. Yeah. But anyway, that's not even the question. The question is, often a small godly army defeats a huge one. Yeah. What does this tell you about God's loyalty? We have 3 minutes.
I think that this is something that God continuously repeats because one of the judges had a small army.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua Nun
had
a small army.
Yeah.
And this is a very easy question. God's loyalty is untestable.
Yes.
God's loyalty is the truth. And he's not bound by this earth. He created it. So what this tells me about what God has a small army that defeats a large one is that he is the ultimate creator. There's no bounds for which he is limited by. He's limitless.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't go by time. He knows the in and outs of us. He knows what we're going to do before we do it. So, yeah, that's what it tells me. His loyalty is untestable. What about you?
I think God's loyalty, you know, God's going to come through on his word. And if you if you know his word, then you're more powerful because you know what he's going to do. You know what to call. Mm-hmm. And I think also, like you said, it's like you can't necessarily use math or science to know what God's going to do because he created everything. And some things defy those things. You know what I mean? Like some things are considered miracles because they're just unheard of. Like a small godly army defeats a huge one, just like the same way that David with the stone killed Goliath or with the slingshot. So it's like you don't know what God can do. You thinking, you know, that's the same thing that we talk about with money. It's like we created money. God didn't create money. So like he'll provide for you. You might think, oh, I need this big thing and God, you know, this is impossible. But it's like you don't even know what God has access to. You can't even imagine it.
Yeah.
So that's what it means to me. God's loyalty has a lot to do with, but see, the loyalty piece is like, do you know who God is? Do you know what his word says? You can't even really call him that necessarily if you're not in relationship or if you can't call and remember, you know what I'm saying, what he promised. So that's one of the reasons why we're trying to read entirely through the Bible. And we just welcome you to join us. If we get cut off on Instagram, then I'm so sorry, but I just want to say, come and join us. You know, you can find our link in the bio to our YouTube page. We'll go ahead and do our shout outs after this. I think we're going to go over time, but is it crazy or is it God? You can search us IICIIG on all the platforms, or you can spell it out. Is it crazy or is it God? And we'll come up on YouTube. You could just put YouTube.com/ and then put the @ symbol IICIIG316. That's how you can find us on YouTube. And obviously you can click the link in the bio. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and wrap it on up because we're right in an hour. We got it done. So what do you want to give any shout outs this week?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Homecoming. Well, first of all, my apologies. I want to give a shout out to DC City Life Sisters. And yes, I'm a unicorn. That is my wife's channel. She definitely is going to go into more explanation of that, but it's not PG-13. It's basically, you go there, you're going to get some motivation, some uplifting, and what's going on in today's culture. And then you also have Yes, I'm a Unicorn, where she basically breaks down God's warning and her planning tactics and her planning systems for you to be to operate better in life, to succeed at what you want to do. Shout out to Fourth Quarter. It's a sports show for the fans, by the fans. You can tune in. We talk about different topics of sports. Right now, NFC, AFC Championship game. We're going to be talking about that. We're live every Tuesday on YouTube. Link will also be in the bio. Then you have Homecoming, the HBCU podcast, where we talk about, it's for our passions of HBCUs, and there are things that are going on at HBCUs that don't get enough press and enough talked about it. So we just talk about our experiences, stories, and how HBCUs are being innovative and they're moving forward. And that's it. Those are my two shout outs.
Excellent. Well, thank you for shouting out DC Life Sisters. So that's one of my other projects, and I'll make sure I update the description box with all these links, but you could also find us over at Instagram, or if you found us at YouTube, you should be able to see our link tree somewhere on our page. But it's just those linking to all of our other things that we have going on. So definitely shout out to DC Love Sisters. I do have to give a shout out this week too, because I just found this channel on YouTube, and it's been so helpful. It's actually, I didn't even realize it's the same app that I use to read the different things. It's called, well, it's the same icon. I don't know if it's the same people, but it's if you go to YouTube, you go to If you go to at Holy Bible Channel, so HOLYBIBLE. CHANNEL. It's just basically spelled at Holy Bible Channel. That's really been helpful to me. I've just realized I found it like 2 days ago, and I was just trying to understand more. And what they do is they narrate parts of the Bible. I don't know if they have the whole Bible up there, but they seem to have a lot of books up there. And you can pretty much Google and search other, other folks who do it. Or other channels that do that. But I thought that was a really, it was really helpful. And the other shout out that I'll give goes to whoever made this. Who is this from? The Zondervan? I think I held this up earlier, but I'm just going to hold it up again. I got this from Amazon. And guys, I know I'm a little weird with my Bibles, but I don't know what it is. It's just like, it's so fun to look at different kinds. This one in particular, they have another version. They have at least one other version I saw where it's not these translations. It's different translation. One of them was Amplified. One of them was regular King James. And it's basically page by page. It gives you all of the Bible, but in four different version. So I find that to be very helpful to have it just all side by side. So if I don't understand one of them, I can go to the other. And those are my shouts out this week. So grateful that we're coming back to you again, and we're getting back in pocket with our schedule of reading and coming to you. And we, like I said, we are striving to encourage a community of Bible readers, meaning people who will read the Bible with us. You don't have to read right along with us, but we are, right on track. And we're reading out of this Bible reading plan, but obviously it's the teachsundayschool.com 365 daily Bible reading plan. But we're reading it for understanding, so we're not doing it in a year in 365 days. So far it's been 2 years and we're almost halfway through, but we've taken some breaks. But listen, come along with us for the ride. Even just listen along. Even if you're not reading, maybe you'll pick it up later. But this is just the first time we're reading the Bible all the way through. Mm. So we definitely would love for you to come and comment and participate. And, you know, we just have a lot of fun. We're learning a lot. So come and join us. I think that's all. We'll leave you with our slogan that we like to say. Don't take our word for it. Go to the source, read your Bible. All right. Thanks, y'all. Be blessed.